Hello, all you freedom-loving people. Welcome to another episode of Front Page. I'm your host, Scott Cameron Goulet. A small plane intruded into the White House airspace on Sunday, causing the military to be alerted. It was later found to be a false alarm. But YouTube did surprise us all. The social media platform suddenly announced the lifting of the ban on the controversy over the 2020 election. This will have a huge impact on the 2024 election, which is now underway. Republicans see President Trump's inability to serve two more terms as a weakness, but President Trump responded with confidence. He said it doesn't even need to be 8 years. It only takes 6 months to get America back on the right track. Meanwhile, President Trump is currently going strong. Even in the home states of other Republican candidates, his approval rating is the highest. We have now reached the climax of James Comer pressuring FBI Director Christopher Wray to either provide the evidence of the Biden family bribery scheme that even Wray says is credible or face contempt of Congress charges. And Saudi Arabia announced a further reduction in oil production in order to control oil prices. Okay, let's get into it. An explosion-like sound shocked the residents in the vicinity of Washington, D.C. at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday. It echoed across nearby areas in Maryland and Virginia. It was a sonic boom from F-16s going supersonic. When a small airliner burst into the airspace of Washington, D.C., the military deployed four F-16s to intercept it. Two F-16s were from the D.C. National Guard Andrews Air Force Base, and two F-16s were from a base in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The F-16s from New Jersey were allowed to fly at supersonic speeds. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, said in a statement, in coordination with the Federal Aviation Administration, NORAD F-16 fighter aircraft responded to an unresponsive Cessna aircraft over Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia on June 4, 2023. The NORAD aircraft were authorized to travel at supersonic speeds, and a sonic boom may have been heard by residents of the region. The authorization claimed that the military had tried to contact the Cessna and that the F-16s even used flares to get the airliner pilot's attention, but the airliner never responded. The Federal Aviation Administration statement said that the airliner was originally expected to fly to MacArthur Airport on Long Island, New York, but after hovering over New York en route, it made a bizarre 180-degree turn, turned around and flew into Washington airspace, eventually crashing into a forest in Virginia. NORAD said that they did not shoot down the plane in Virginia. A U.S. official stated that the pilot of the Cessna appeared to have passed out while at the controls. The FAA statement added, the FAA and NTSB will investigate. The NTSB will be in charge of the investigation and provide all further updates. According to reports, the airliner belongs to the Encore Motors of Melbourne. John Rumpel, the owner of the business, said that his entire family was on board the ill-fated plane, including his daughter, granddaughter, and her nanny. Shortly before 8 p.m., first responders on foot were able to find the crash site, but no survivors were found at the location. Technology giant Google's video platform YouTube has made a major policy change. On Friday, YouTube announced that it would stop removing videos that contain allegations of the election fraud in the 2020 U.S. presidential election. YouTube announced on December 9, 2020, over 2 years ago, that it would immediately remove videos that incorrectly claim that election fraud caused President Trump's re-election defeat. Since then, YouTube has stepped up its censorship efforts so that even terms like election fraud are not allowed to be used. Since then, the YouTube platform has shut down at least 8,000 channels and it has taken down tens of thousands of related videos, citing violations of fake information policy. But suddenly, YouTube decided to make a 180-degree turn. It posted on June the 2nd that it will stop removing content that advances claims that widespread fraud, errors, or glitches occurred in the 2020 U.S. presidential elections and other past U.S. presidential elections. This went into effect on Friday, June the 2nd, as a result of YouTube's censorship action. Alternative platforms like Rumble have exploded under the banner of free speech. It's unclear to many what caused this sudden shift and YouTube to decide to reverse its course. YouTube's own explanation is that this election fraud policy did not help reduce harm to the real world. It sounds good just to say election fraud. YouTube wrote, "In the current environment, we find that while removing this content does curb some misinformation, it could also have the unintended effect of curtailing political speech without meaningfully reducing the risk of violence or other real-world harm." In other words, YouTube found that even though they were blocking it, there were still plenty of ways for people to spread information and evidence about the election being stolen. The truth can't be blocked, even though they tried to block it. YouTube itself was affected by its own policy. They lost users and advertising revenue. And with the 2024 election campaign in full swing, removing election-related content would obviously cost YouTube more users. However, YouTube has not completely eliminated other parts of the content review machine. YouTube says it will continue to remove content that misleads voters about the time, place, means, or eligibility requirements for voting. The YouTube blog reads, "All of our election misinformation policies remain in place, including those that disallow content aiming to mislead voters about the time, place, means, or eligibility requirements for voting, false claims that could materially discourage voting, including those disputing the validity of voting by mail, and content that encourages others to interfere with democratic processes." A further caveat is that the policy could change as the 2024 election cycle unfolds. YouTube said, "We'll remain vigilant as the election unfolds, as we did in 2020 and again in 2022. And we have an elections-focused team, including members of our intelligence desk, trust and safety, and product teams, monitoring real-time developments and making adjustments to our strategy as needed." Recently, major platforms have shown great sensitivity to the allegation of election interference. Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy recently accused social media platform LinkedIn of election interference after LinkedIn temporarily locked his account for comments that he made about the Biden administration and climate change. Ramaswamy said on Twitter, "Election meddling by big tech companies has begun." He called the move outright censorship. LinkedIn later told the Epoch Times that Ramaswamy's account was restricted in error and his account has been reactivated. President Donald Trump returned to Iowa last Thursday as the Republican presidential field grows. He responded to attacks from Republican opponents at an Iowa restaurant on Thursday. The opponents said that he would not get another 8 years in office. Trump said during a breakfast with the West Side Conservative Club in Urbandale that you don't need 8 years, you need 6 months. "We can turn this thing around so quickly. If you need 8 years, who the hell wants to wait 8 years? You don't need 8 years." Trump dismissed the notion that top rival Ron DeSantis has the ability to serve two consecutive terms to a crowd of about 180 people who were packed into a machine shed restaurant. Ron DeSantis spent part of last week courting the support of Iowa voters. Trump is predicting a big win in Iowa caucuses next year, and polls also show him leading DeSantis by 22 points among Republican voters in the state. President Trump had to cancel a planned rally in Des Moines, Iowa last month due to bad weather. He has not yet rescheduled the rally. However, the president returned to Iowa last week for a Fox-sponsored town hall meeting. He contacted the West Side Conservative Club and he asked to attend one of its events at the Machine Shed restaurant. While the event was dwarfed in attendance compared to the typical large Trump rally crowd, it was the largest rally at which President Trump spoke this week. There were many hardcore Trump supporters on stage. President Trump said, "There's no way we lose Iowa. We have to do some really bad things to lose at this point." Unlike the general election, presidential primaries are not held on the same day, and the states that vote first have a large impact on the states that follow. Iowa, and New Hampshire are the first two states to vote in the Republican primary. This is why the Republican candidates are vying for these two states. In recent years, candidates who have led national polls and presidential primaries have lost their party's nomination in part because they lost the Iowa caucus primary. Examples include Republican Rudy Giuliani and Democrat Hillary Clinton during the 2008 primary. Both of them ran into trouble in Iowa during this cycle of the 2008 primaries. This year, according to polls conducted in Iowa and New Hampshire, Donald Trump is ahead of Ron DeSantis not only in Iowa, but also in New Hampshire, according to a survey that was conducted by the University of New Hampshire in mid-April. President Trump's approval rating is 42% compared to 22% for DeSantis. New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who is expected to announce his 2024 campaign this week, came in third in that survey with 12% support. Home state polling is an important early indicator of a candidate's strength because voters there know these candidates best. If a candidate cannot succeed in his home state where he has already gained the support of the voters, how can he succeed in a state where he is just reaching out to? But this is also a side note to the power of President Trump. Not only does he lead Chris Sununu in New Hampshire, he also leads Nikki Haley in South Carolina. According to the latest South Carolina Winthrop University poll that was conducted in early April, President Trump's approval rating is 41% compared to 20% for DeSantis and 18% for Nikki Haley. Senator Tim Scott's approval rating is 7%. Recently, data shows that Haley's approval rating has declined while Scott's has increased in the past few weeks. Meanwhile, President Trump is still ahead. Before we move on to the drama between FBI Director Christopher Wray and House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, I want to tell you some other shocking news. Recently, an Air Force chief first announced that an AI-enabled drone had killed its human operator during a simulated U.S. Air Force test. However, later, after the news went viral, he denied the report and said that he misspoke. We have a short video discussing this topic on Ganjing World. I put the link in the description below. Okay, let's get back into it. Republican candidates are criticizing the bureaucracy of the federal government, and they are calling for the scaling back or elimination of some departments and programs. President Trump has expressed similar thoughts. President Trump called himself a victim of the FBI, and he said that we have a very, very corrupt system that is fueled by years and years of entrenchment, years of radicalism. President Trump accused top officials at the FBI and DOJ of antagonizing the conservative public. He said, "People are embedded in those positions and they hate us. They hate our values. They hate what we stand for." Last week, we reported that the FBI denied and then refused to provide the House of Representatives with a document that is related to the Biden family's bribery. After the Republicans pressed hard, the matter finally came to a head. FBI Director Christopher Wray has agreed to bring the subpoenaed document that is related to the Biden family to Capitol Hill for legislators to examine. A spokesperson for the House Oversight Committee Chairman, James Comer, confirmed on Friday that the lawmaker would be allowed to review the documents on June the 5th, which is today. Then, after the meeting today, Comer said, "Today, FBI officials confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation." However, no surprise, Christopher Wray again failed to hand over the form. Comer added, "We will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday." So why is the House Oversight Committee adamant about having access to the document? An FBI whistleblower informed Congress about the document, which is a FD 1023 form. The form supposedly contains uncorroborated allegations that Joe Biden, while serving as vice president, engaged in a $5 million bribery conspiracy in order to alter U.S. policy in exchange for monetary gain for his family's businesses. The whistleblower expressed concern that the allegations were never thoroughly investigated. The informant was a pre-existing FBI source with a long track record dating back at least several years to the Obama era. In addition, the informant was previously found to be highly credible and was consistently reviewed by the FBI. If the Biden family is proven guilty of bribery, then Biden could be impeached retroactively, following the precedent that was set by the Democrats in the second impeachment trial against President Trump in 2021. Saudi Arabia, the world's largest oil exporter, announced that it will cut production of oil by another 1 million barrels per day starting in July in order to support oil prices. On Monday, oil prices rose after the opening bell, with prices jumping more than $1 per barrel. On Sunday, the OPEC plus oil producing countries met in Vienna. The Saudi energy minister said after the meeting that its output would fall to 9 million barrels per day in July from about 10 million barrels per day in May. This is the largest reduction in oil for Saudi Arabia in years. Saudi Minister of Energy Prince Salman bin Abdulaziz said that he would do his best to stabilize the oil market. He also said that the production cut is scheduled for July, but the time can be extended. Meanwhile, U.S. domestic oil production is declining. In the U.S., the number of oil rigs in operation fell by 15 last week to 555. Baker Hughes said in a report on Friday that this is the lowest since April of 2022. Since December, drilling has slowed due to weak prices, rising costs, and companies redirecting spending to reward shareholders. The rising cost of crude oil production is due not only to higher labor prices, but also to the Biden administration's imposition of stricter environmental standards. It's not just the energy industry that has been affected, but other aspects of life as well. The Biden administration pledged in December of 2022 to take more than 100 actions to impose stricter environmental standards on consumer products. Consumer groups predict that in the future, America will pay more for products that do less. O.H. Skinner, the executive director of the Alliance for Consumers, told the Epoch Times, "You're seeing just in the last few months new rules from the Biden administration about clothes washers, dishwashers, and other kinds of kitchen appliances, and in every case you're talking about a tightening of already very, very tight standards." These new DOE regulations come on top of the Environmental Protection Agency's new emissions rules for automobiles and electric utilities, and after their efforts to ban gas stoves. Many of these new regulations may be completed by next year and would give manufacturers several years to comply. Hopefully, we can change this political environment before these regulations are implemented. And that's a wrap for this episode. Thank you so much for your support of Front Page. Please remember that every like, comment, and share helps more people to see the truth. If you haven't already, please subscribe. And if you have already subscribed, we thank you. But please double check to make sure that you are still subscribed, because some of our audience have reported that they're somehow unsubscribed without their knowledge. Okay, this is our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you like what you heard today, please don't forget to like this video and share it with your friends and family, because everybody deserves to know the truth. Again, thank you for watching Front Page, and we will see you next time.